You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we'll be taking a look ahead to some of the action. You'll hear it all live, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio from 2pm with Ross Briley, Sean Quinn and Luke Elder in the studio for all of the action on Tuesday. Racing at Redcar, Lingfield, Leicester, Huntingdon, Hexham and there's an Irish meeting at Ballinrobe. So we'll be looking ahead to some of the racing from those venues in due course. Joining me on the podcast today is Craig Forsyth to take a look at some of the action and hopefully point in the direction of a winner or two. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Sam. I'm looking forward to the action that coming our way on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little less busy than it is today ahead of a bumper bank holiday Monday we've got.
Yeah, a lot of racing on Monday, usual stuff. And the highlight there, obviously, would be the Zetland Gold Cup for me at Redcar. Slightly disappointing field this year, but it'll be interesting to see how that race pans out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. And of course, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll know the winner of that one. We'll start, though, as we always do on the Tuesday podcast, with the Racing Post Monday jury. I'll pose the questions to Craig and see what he makes them. We'll start then. If you owned Glen Eagles, would you be going to Epsom or Royal Ascot? I know a lot of traditionalists would like to see him go to Epsom, but it might not be the ideal move for him.
No, you know, it would definitely be Royal Ascot for me. I think keep him out of mile. He's the best three-year-old at that trip, and he's got a decisive turn of foot. He's a battler. He got his way out of trouble with a great turn of foot at the Curragh at the weekend. And, you know, he's still learning because he's still quite keen and fiery in his races. And, you know, I don't think there's any need to step him up in trip at this stage of his career. Could do more harm than good to the horse, the way he races. So I'll keep him at a mile. He's definitely the best of the three-year-olds at that trip. And he would take all the beating. He would go for a very short price at Ascot. So for me, it would be a no-brainer, Royal Ascot.
Yeah, certainly just that way. And again, I think if it wasn't the Derby, there wouldn't be any talk of him running at that trip anyway.
I think the reason the Derby talk has come up is because Ballydoyle and Aidan O'Brien, they're running out of options for the race. That another horse disappoint yesterday that's entered in the Derby. And, you know, I think there's better horses and horses that have achieved more already than the Ballydoyle runners this year. And I think their stock could come up short. I think their Chester winner is probably their best hope of winning the Derby. Was it Henry Holbein?
Hans Holbein.
He's probably the best hope they've got. And that form was franked at Goodwood on Friday. I'd definitely go to Ascot with him.
Okay. We'll move on then. What did you make of the Irish 1,000 guineas with an eye on the future? Obviously, we saw Found get turned over there, who's another one who's been talked to for the Derby, I guess, for the same reasons that Ballydoyle are really lacking in that department.
Yeah, I think it was a strong renewal, in all honesty. I thought it was a truly run race. And we're seeing two youthful horses fight out the finish. I think both horses will also find further improvement when they step up in trip to, you know, mile four, the Oaks trip. I would imagine that, you know, both horses could go that way. Although, I think Jim Bolger has already stated, is he going for the Irish Derby?
Yeah, he has said that.
With the winner, Plascock. Well, I think Found would definitely improve stepping up and trip, but a strong renewal. You know, looking at the race back and looking at the times, I still think the winner of our 1,000 guineas could be the one that takes all the beating at Epsom and the Oaks.
Okay, fair enough then. Do Goodwood winners Lady of Dubai and Storm the Stars appeal for Epsom?
Lady of Dubai definitely has to come into the reckoning. That was a fantastic performance. I'm sure a great turn of foot, bit of useful horse. Looks a real strong and proven type. I mean, the Oaks picture, it's a real hard puzzle to solve at the moment. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going for the race. There's a lot of unexposed and proven horses heading that way, and it's going to be a hard puzzle to solve. But she definitely has to be on any shortlist, given the impression she made at Goodwood at the weekend. Storm the Stars, I thought, you know, did well to win, but did get the run of the race out in front, and that would be unlikely to happen at Epsom. I think the overall form of the race would be way short of Derby standard, and he would need to take a massive step forward from what we've seen at the weekend at Goodwood. So certainly couldn't be with Storm the Stars in the Derby, but Lady of Dubai would definitely have to be on a shortlist at this stage for the Oaks.
Okay. Did we see the Queen Anne winner in the shape of Solo and the Prince of Wales winner in the shape of Al-Kazim? Obviously, Solo won a race at Longchamp yesterday, and we saw Al-Kazim impressively win the Tatsals Gold Cup over at the Curragh.
The first one, Queen Anne Solo, is going to take the world to beat. That was a fantastic performance. Lovely moving horse. Just does it so easily. Just a joy to watch. You know, versatile regards trip between a mile and a mile and a half. So just got everything. So yes, definitely Solo will take all the beating in the Queen Anne, but Al-Kazim, brilliant performance yesterday, you know. But you look back at Al-Kazim's record, and since 2010, since he made his debut, he's won every year on his second start, bar the year where he only made one trip to the race course because he got injured.
Yeah.
So he clearly, you know, comes to hand and peaks on his second start after he's had a run under his belt. And although it was a terrific performance, I think the Kevin Ryan horse, you know, ran slightly below par. Postponed isn't proven. And he's a hard horse to weigh up, but he's still going forward. I don't think Al-Kazim will win the Prince of Wales. But give his running, he doesn't know how to run a bad race. I'd be surprised if there isn't a few younger and proven types that go past them at Ascot.
Okay. Will any of Saturday's group race sprinters go on to win at Royal Ascot? Of course, we saw Pearl Secret win the Temple Stakes at Haydock. Mustard Jeeb won the Greenlands at the Curragh. Either of those appeal to you, Craig?
Good performance from Pearl Secret, and he always threatened to win a race like that.
It has been coming, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, I wouldn't want to be with him at this stage for Royal Ascot. And the second of those, Mustard Jeeb, definitely appeals as a type to go very well in the Diamond Jubilee, the 6 furlong race, which is run on the Saturday now of Royal Ascot. He definitely appeals as the type for that. Of course, he won the Jersey Stakes last year over 7. Dropping back and trip to 6 furlongs, he's shown an abundance of speed. He did get warm before the start, but that didn't affect his performance at the weekend. And a strong travelling type that quickens well. Yeah, definitely he would be a big player in the Diamond Jubilee.
Okay, he's 8-1 shot at the time recording for the Diamond Jubilee. Final question, on the Monday jury then. It's half term. Give us a winner to pay for a trip to the coast and an ice cream.
Two for the price of one, Sam. Two for the price of one.
Excellent stuff.
I can't separate these two, so I'm going to give you them both. Eastern Angel and the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot.
Right.
Michael Dodds' horse that won the Hillary Needler at Beverley at the weekend. Clocked 2 sensational times. Very impressive at Musselburgh on debut. And then at the weekend at Beverley, another real good effort. Paul Morenin rode her like, you know, she was always going to win. Didn't panic when he was caught in trouble. Like I said, the time of the race was excellent. I think she's a real nice filly. She's going to take all the beating for me in the Queen Mary. And wherever you see Luca Cumani's Penn Hill turn up next, you need to be with him. I think eventually he'll go on to win the Ebor this year. But the cut-off point for the Ebor last year was 99. He won his Ascot race, he won his first start for Luca, off 86. He's gone up to 92 and he did everything wrong in that race. He pulled very hard, he refused to settle, he raced on the outside with no cover, and he still finished off his race and came home really strongly. You know, the sectionals match up with the listed race that was run half an hour later over the same course and distance, and the overall time suggests Penn Hill is 100 horse minimum already, with more improvement to come. So he races off 92. Wherever he turns up, he will win.
Okay. All right, fair enough then. Couple to look at then in the future. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Tuesday's racing. We've got 4 races for you from 4 different venues on Tuesday. We'll start at Lingfield with their 240. This one is a 5 furlong sprint handicap. It's a class 4 with 10 of them down to contest it. Who's on the shortlist here?
Yeah, I think we've got to be with Royal Acquisition here, a horse that just runs these 5 furlongs at Lingfield particularly well. Sam, let's forget his last two runs where he's disappointed at Wolverhampton and Chelmsford on different surfaces. They're much slower surfaces, those two tracks, than the poly track at Lingfield. And his last run here, he was badly hampered at the start of the race, and he met trouble later on the bend, and he still only went down by a head, finishing behind Brother Tiger on that occasion. That was off a mark of 73. He's only £2 higher here, and with a cracking course and distance record, I think he can get back to winning ways for an informed yard.
Okay, royal acquisition then in that 240 at Lingfield for Craig. We'll move on then to a race at Leicester next. This one comes up at 4:30. It's a 7 furlong handicap, this one. 13 of them go down to post for this class four. Who makes the appeal here?
Yeah, Alpha Gear definitely, although I'm a little bit worried about the wide drawn stall 12 here, which is of slight concern. But I thought this filly ran a remarkable race at Doncaster in a race that will work out well. So the time of the race was really good. Darshini, the winner, has just gone down last week, beaten at Goodwood. Starstead, the fourth horse, has ran really well. And Rudy, the seventh horse from that race, has gone in as well. So I think it's form we need to be following over the next month or so. And dropping back and trip back to 7 furlongs, because she did get to the front and challenge those two rivals at Doncaster before just tiring late on. So I think also the drop back and trip will be very much in her favour. It's an excellent race. It's really strong competition for a filly's handicap, 0-85. But I'm going to stick with Alpha Gear here for Marco Body.
Okay, Alpha Gear then in that one for Craig. We'll go over to Redcart then for the next race on today's podcast. This one is there for 50. It's a 5 furlong handicap with 9 of them in the field for this one. Who do you like, Craig?
Yeah, I'm in danger here of following a horse for too long and going over the cliff with it. Soul Brother. But he definitely deserves another chance here after what we've seen at Redcar last time over the same course and distance. He was drawn wide in stall 10, I think it was, that day. If he had right coming out the stalls, lost a couple of lengths, got back into the race, came cruising on the bridle, got blocked at the crucial stage. When Invincible Ridge, the eventual winner, went on, he was stuck in a pocket and he was absolutely flying at the finish. He is a little bit quirky, Sam, but I have no doubt he is a much better horse than his mark of 80 suggests at this moment in time. He's definitely got decent sprint handicaps in him this year, so I'm going to stick with him, give him another chance in this. Soul Brother for me.
Okay, Soul Brother then in Redcar's 450. We'll move then to a jumps race to close the podcast today. This is over at Hexham. There's 7:10. It's a novices limited handicap chase. 3 mile and 1 furlong is the trip for this class four. 7 of them line up for it. Who catches the eye here?
Yeah, there isn't many that you can be with here. I'll be surprised if Taking the Mickey actually lines up, because his trainer suggested after he was won at Perth last time that he would be roughed off for the summer because he isn't a quick enough horse to compete on quicker ground. So, you know, his participation has to be in some doubt if the ground is good or quicker. So that leaves Yui Teotl, is how we'll go with the pronunciation here.
Yeah.
A horse that won over fences for the first time at Hexham last time. He wasn't doing anything quickly. He was just staying on and much stronger than Super Collider, who finished second on that occasion. He steps up and trip for the first time. You know, there is hope here in this kind of contest. That is a weak affair he can see it out against lesser opposition. He's on an upward curve. He's a real likeable horse. He looks the part. And I think eventually he can end up a lot better than a mark of 120. And it isn't a strong race. I mean, Spirit Oscar absolutely played the goat when she was due to run at Perth last week. Just didn't even get to the start. So, you know, will she race? And then we've got Doubts Over the Ground. We're Taking the Mickey. Scarlet Fire's a hard ride. Stamina to prove, but UU Teotl would have to be the selection.
Okay, then you, Teotl, in that one, then in the 7:10 at Hexham. If you just remind us, please, then, Craig, of your four best bets for the action on Tuesday.
240 Lingfield, Royal Acquisition. In Leicester's 4:30, Alpha Gear. And in the 4:50 at Redcar, Soul Brother. And finally, in the 7:10 at Hexham, Yui Teotl.
Okay, excellent stuff. And there we are, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of Tuesday's action. You'll hear every race live from 2 p.m. on William Hill's Racing Radio. Ross Briley, Sean Quinn and Luke Elder will be in the studio to bring you all the action from Leicester, Lingfield and Redcar in the afternoon, and evening meetings from Hexham and Huntington over the obstacles. There's also an Irish card from Ballinrobe as well, and we'll be bringing you the best of the action there. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Craig, and good luck with the bets on Tuesday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.